سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. إمام جهاد، أهلا إمام جهاد. Such a blessing to have you here, Imam. بارك الله فيك. Abdullah, your comments are not welcome at all. You are welcome to be blocked after this. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. أهلا سمية. So great to see you, ما شاء الله. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We have our أستاذة with us. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعليك السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله أكبر. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Finally this day has come.
It's a blessing to see you, ما شاء الله. How are you doing, أستاذة؟
الحمد لله, I'm fine. I'm just currently at my workplace, so this is the library where I work in. So alhamdulillah, I'm kind of getting in touch from here.
Oh, awesome. Let me introduce you, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we have such a blessing of having Ustada Amina with us today, mashallah, from Bosnia. This is so exciting, inshallah. Excited to hear her story, mashallah. She has spent so many years working with Quran, working with scholars in memorizing Quran, teaching Quran. Mashallah, she also teaches Arabic. She has a master's working towards in Islam in Europe, and she already has a bachelor's in Islamic studies. So mashallah, she comes not only from a place of working with Islamic knowledge, but also someone who focuses on Islam in Europe specifically. And Bosnia has such a long history with Islam in Europe. So subhanAllah, it's so wonderful to be able to speak with you in person and inshallah learn about your journey and to hear about the journey of Bosnian women and their process with the Quran. So can you share with us today about your journey to the Quran, inshallah?
Oh, subhanAllah, when I was thinking about what would I say if you asked me about my journey with the Quran, I would just say like one common place where we're both Bosnians here and the Europeans and generally the Americans, that all of those non-Arab people come from the same baseline is that we do not know Arabic. So all of us who want to learn the Quran, who want to read the Quran, the first kind of place, the first dot that we all have to start from is to learn how to read. And that is a struggle by itself. So all of those who have been on this place know how it is. So my journey on first reading the Quran, because to learn the Quran by heart was not my first option. It was just to kind of get to know it. Was about 8 years old. However, because it was because we have here in Bosnia, it is called the maktabs. It is kind of like the basic Islamic education for children, and it is organized by different imams here in Bosnia. So every child who wants to learn the basics of Islam, they can go to a maktab and to learn the basics of it. So I started there, and I started with my first teacher in the maktab school. Her name was Fatima, may Allah bless her. And unfortunately, I had this kind of tendency to kind of give up easily on things. So my journey took, of learning only the huruf, learning only the letters, my journey took more than about, I think 6 years. Was it 6 years? And it was like every year I would start and I would go for about a month or 2 months and 3 months. And I would just like, oh, I cannot do this. I would give up. And then when I was about 12 years old, a new teacher came to us, and his name was Professor Nazif. May Allah bless him and may Allah accept from him. And he said, like, no, we're not going to do this again. You're not going to start this all over again and then like stop at the in the middle. We're going to start and we're going to finish it. So that he kind of made the intention straight from the beginning. So then like we started, and then like we came to the, I think the Tanween was the sign that we did together, the last. And then a new teacher again came, and then with the third teacher I just finished my journey of how knowing how to read the Quran. And her name is Admira. And I then realized that in order for me to be able to learn the Quran and to be kind of able to read it properly, I would need a tough teacher. So not someone who is like too calm and generous and like too sweet and like kind of respective, etc. I would need someone who kind of says, you have to do this, you do not have a choice, yeah, to get it up. So that's what I went when I finished. It was like, no, you do not have a choice, you do not have an option here, you just have to finish it. And then I had finished my the Arabic letters. So anyone there who has the same struggle, I know how you feel. I know how it is, because it took me for so many years. And when I finished it, then the real fortune came to me, because I then realized how beautiful this book that I was reading was, and how kind of, even though I was a child, I was kind of aware of how beautiful a feeling it came to me when I read it. It was like whenever I read the Quran, I kind of felt like this calmness in my heart that I never felt in any other book. So even though I didn't know what I was reading, I didn't know the meanings of it, I didn't know what was behind all of those letters and words and sentences and ayat, I was just reading it. And just the process of reading the Quran, only the reading, was really enjoyable for me. So yeah, it is not easy, but it is worthy of it, because like after that I never kind of forgot the letters. And this journey of this hard journey that all of us can come through, and I know my I have a lot of students and they kind of have the same struggles, especially it is especially when we come, for example, for the al-huruf al-mufakham, for example, the kha and the ghain and the ayn. When we come to the ayn, it is like, oh, we cannot do this. Where is this sign gonna come? Where is this sound gonna come from? Where should I put my tongue? Where should I do this? So yeah, it is a struggle, and I know how you feel, but it is worthy of it, because like the pleasure of reading the Quran afterwards, and what it comes from to you with all of its messages, etc., is it's much more worthy than the struggle that we come through during the reading of during the learning of the letters, etc. So I'm sorry, because maybe this answer took too much of the time. I'm sorry.
So awesome, mashallah. So that's how you started with just being introduced to the letters and the Arabic language. But so many people learn Arabic and they don't memorize in Quran. Why did you want to memorize Quran after that? If you still wonderful, but why did you, especially because you didn't understand what you were reading. So why did you choose to memorize?
So my memorizing process started when I was in my high school. So here in Bosnia, we have the so-called Islamic high schools, meaning like you can go to a madrasa, which lasts for 4 years, and then you can go like to learn from like the basics of aqidah, of fiqh, of sirah, of history of Islam, of many different aspects of Islam. So to go to there, it was a little bit of a struggle, because my parents were not for going to this Islamic high school, and because in that time my parents were not really religious, so I had to kind of struggle to get into it and kind of to get their trust in that I'm not gonna go extreme, that I'm not gonna start bombing myself, etc. So it was like a struggle, because they were afraid that something might happen to me. That's not a problem here, but kind of they're afraid that their main concern was that religion is going to close my not to kind of to close me in a box, so to say, not to give me the freedom that they thought I needed. They were afraid that I'm gonna like stay stuck and not being able to educate myself and not being like many different things. So it was just any other parents. They were concerned that their ch child, their daughter gets the best education that it she has to. I just told them it is my biggest wish. It is what makes me happy, and I will not be happy if I do not go to this madrasa and learn about Islam. And I think then the love and the accepting part of my parents kind of stood there, and they told me, of course, if you wanted to go, we respect you, we respect your decisions, and it's okay. It's not that we agree upon that, but we respect your decisions.
It's so powerful because they're just talking to a teenager, but they're listening to you and work with you.
Yes,
Wow.
and I had really opinions in that time. I know that when I wanted to do something in my life, then I would just do all, I would go through walls, but I would do it. I was like, oh, there is no other opinion for me. It's going to make me happy. I know that this is something that I need. And it was something that I need because during the madrasa period, I put on my hijab. I started like learning about Islam. I started praying regularly, and I started kind of getting to know about things about Islam. It's the basics of it can be really good, well known here in madrasas in Bosnia. When I wanted to, maybe this would be interesting for some of the viewers. The second like struggle, because and the third one is going to be the Quran. The second struggle that I had was again how to put my hijab on. I was only 15 years old, and I was about in that school for only about 2 or 3 weeks, and I immediately wanted to put my hijab to be the hijabi all the time. So up until then, we had like the opportunity to put on the hijab during the classes, but outside the classes, we didn't have to wear on the hijab regarding the rules in the madrasa. And when I wanted to start wearing the hijab, I was like concerned, oh, what's going to happen now? And I kind of felt it in my heart. I remember sitting one day, and I remember like reading an ayah from like there was a board, and there was the ayah when and it says, "وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَخْشَوْنَ no, I cannot remember the ayah one by one word. So it said about the hijab ayah, meaning the cover, the hijab that kind of says to the women to kind of put the hijab on. And I read that ayah a lot, many times before, but that time when I was reading it, I just kind of felt in my heart that, oh, this is Allah talking to me. This is something that Allah wants for me. I am His believer. I am someone who wants His mercy. I'm the one who wants His forgiveness. And He's the one who gives me the best of this life, and He's the one who wants the best for me. And when I realized who was talking to me in that ayah, I kind of right away felt in my heart, now I want to be someone who is a real Muslima to him, meaning like someone who kind of wishes what he wishes, or someone who desires in his life what he desires for us. And kind of, I felt the calmness in deciding that I want to wear the hijab, and there was no other opinion in that period for me. And then when I came home and I told my parents I want to start wearing it, they kind of said, "Oh, but you're too young. How can you wear the hijab? And you're only 15. What the other people will say? What if you change your mind later on? What will happen then?" And then I said, I will not think about that. I will just hear it now, and I will start doing it right now because I know that this is something that I want." And then, yeah, I remember my mother. She was so angry at me because she was like so scared. What is going to happen next? And then I started wearing it. And later on, and now when I talk to her, because about 10 years or more have passed since I started wearing it, and now she says, Well, if only I knew what is going to come next and how happy you're going to become because of that, and how happy you're going to, Islam is going to, how much happiness and beautifulness in your life Islam is going to get you. I will never kind of be angry at you. I will never kind of stop you from any of those things, because now she kind of realizes how this religion is really a source of happiness for us, even in this world, even though we go through many, many different struggles and we have many insecurities, we have so many things that we go through. But because we have someone who we rely upon and whom we can talk to and whom we can kind of ask from to give us what we need, and kind of it gives so much calmness and it gives so much joy and happiness that it cannot be compared to anything else. And we can go and buy things, the kind of new things can give us some joy, but from those new kind of materialistic things that we buy or get, etc., they give us a joy or happy feeling for a couple of days maybe, or even weeks. But after that we kind of get bored, we kind of get over it, we do not feel anymore the joy. But this, when you have the faith in yourself, it's something that kind of gets you more and more if you're going to go deeper and deeper in it, subhanAllah. And even when we read this book, this beautiful Quran that Allah sent us, if you read it, you read an ayah and you read it in one way, one day, and you kind of understand it in one day, and then you come in a couple of days or months or years and you kind of read the same ayah, but you are not the same. And you kind of look into the same ayah, it's completely differently from how you saw it in before. So this is this is the joy of our religion, and this kind of the joy and the beautifulness of our Islam. And then after like putting the hijab, my first year of classes, I started from going to the second class, and then I met one of my then one of my friends told me that she was starting to learn the Quran by heart, and I like, okay, you're learning it, mashallah, it's beautiful, it's nice, but I kind of was, no, it's not for me. I'm not worthy enough to learn the Quran by heart. That's what was one of my main thoughts. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. It's kind of, yeah, I am too, like, sometimes I get lazy, sometimes I get like stuck in my thoughts and stuck in many things. Sometimes like I cannot even, I hardly get up and pray at all. And how will I be a Hafidh if I'm not like praying every night, the Salatul Layl? And how am I going to be Hafidh if I'm not like all this additionally. And I was kind of getting, I was like feeling it like I had to go, I have to get to a certain degree of my iman, of everything about me, and then I will be worthy enough to learn the Quran by heart. And like I had to be something in order to be able to learn it by heart. And then, subhanAllah, I realized, and you do not have to get into any point to learn the Quran by heart. Allah has sent you the Quran to benefit from it, subhanAllah. And you do not have to get to any level to learn it. It is open for you if you really want to learn it. And then I kind of stopped thinking about where should I be in order to be able to learn the Quran, and what should I know before it, and what should I accomplish, all of these accomplishments, etc. No, the Quran is there for all of us in all times. You do not, it is there for you, even though if you're in the baddest, in the worst place in your life, as it is for you in your, if you are in the best place in your life, meaning like in the happiness and in the sorrows. So, kind of, when I kind of stopped thinking about where should I be in order to be able to learn the Quran by heart, then it kind of came, and I started learning it. And by learning it, then many different, then many other struggles came in. But yeah, just to start learning it, it was kind of from there. I do not have to be anyone to be able to learn the Quran or to recite it or to come closer to Allah through it.
Subhanallah, is so inspiring, and it left me with chills, and my heart feels fuller, and my eyes just feel like I can feel the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have just brimming over your tears. Mashallah, may Allah bless you. You talked about learning the Arabic. You talked about how you felt unworthy for the Quran, but felt like, okay, this ayah is talking to you and how it impacted your life and the happiness that your mom even sees in you after this, mashallah. When did you go to actually trying to understand the meaning of what you're memorizing? Was that part of the process of you memorizing, or was it separate? How was that for you?
Understanding the meanings of the Quran is something that I'm still kind of working on, and I think I will work on it as long as my life goes, and I will kind of work with my whole life. To be honest, my Arabic now is not on the place where I want it to be. Like it is, I'm like on the some place where I can understand it, but my speak level is not like my level of how to communicate and speak it. It's not on the place where I want it to be. However, I don't want let it to stop me from understanding the Quran because yeah, I just kind of think that. Understanding the meanings of the Quran, meaning like understand each word or many words from the Quran can benefit us as well. I started learning the grammar from my high school, and then I continued learning grammar of Arabic in during the faculty period as well. And then when I started working, I came, alhamdulillah, here in Nahla, we kind of they gave me the opportunity to teach the linguistic tafsir. Meaning, like we can go word by word, translating some surahs and understanding them deeper. And my first course that I taught there was the linguistic tafsir, word by word, meanings of the surah Ikhlas, Falaq, and Nas. Like they were the basic surahs, so to say. And so many people here in Bosnia know these surahs by heart. But I think if you ask them what these surahs mean and how do you kind of practice these surahs in your everyday life, unfortunately they wouldn't be able to kind of translate them and understand what they mean. But they'll, for example, recite them every day in their prayers as like sort of a protection in the mornings, in the evenings, etc. I was thinking, why do we not know these surahs? These surahs, they are not basic, they're advanced if you understand the meanings of them. And then I started kind of going through one by one word and how does why Allah chose this word in order to start this surah and how the different meanings kind of complete the overall message of the surah, etc. And wow, when I started doing that, it kind of brought my level and my connection to the Quran to a completely new level. Subhanallah, to know one by one word and to know kind of a deeper meaning of what we read and recite in the Quran. It is completely subhanallah. It's something so beautiful. It kind of when you see, for example, why Allah has, when you read it in, for example, we have the translation of the Quran here in Bosnian, and everyone who wants to know the meaning of the Quran, you can read it, and you have many different translations of the Quran in Bosnia, and it is on one level, so to say, really nice and useful, etc. However, when you go and kind of start reading it and trying to understand it word by word, and kind of try to find the connection between the words and what is the kind of what meanings can we get behind these like letters and words that are connected one after the other, the connection to with the Quran becomes really more beautiful. And I know my students used to tell me, like I kind of they said I kind of have the connection with these surahs on a completely new level because now when I recite them in my prayers, it is like I'm talking to Allah. Now that when I'm reciting in my prayers, I know what I'm saying and know what I'm seeking the protection from and who am I talking to, etc. So yeah, even when you go from the basics, you can go to advanced if you understand and know how to go to get into it. And then I didn't stop the journey there. So this year, alhamdulillah, We I had this course called the, and I am having, it is still ongoing. I'm having this course of linguistic again, Tafsir of Surah Maryam, and it is a completely again a journey. It is a beautiful journey, and we cover, for example, each week about 3 to 4 ayat, and it is only by one by one word, and then we cover the whole page of the Surah Maryam for a month. So we do one page a month. And it is really slow, and our students are going to learning the hifz of the surah as well as the meanings. And wow, it is their hifz is strong. Their understanding of the surah is beautiful. So it is completely a new level to learn it this way. And my inshallah, my goal, may Allah make it easy for me and all of us who want to do it this way, is to kind of understand the whole Quran in these like small levels, like understand it word by word, go into this its deeper meanings like that. So yeah, it is a completely different perspective, and it is a completely new level of connection with the Quran, because you kind of get. I know when I start reading the Surah Maryam now, I kind of get like triggered by some words that I wasn't triggered. Not what's the meaning of trigger? Meaning like it gives me the chills, it gives me the warmness in my heart, it gives me the tears, it gives me the feeling of wow, this is what Allah has told us in the Surah Maryam. And this is His choice of the words, and kind of these when this like so many small words, so to say, of Surah Maryam, they kind of give me these new feelings that I have never had before, and that's all because of these kind of beautiful meanings that I have learned throughout this year. And may Allah bless him, Sheikh Abdul Nasir Jangda. I have listened to his tafsir of Surah Maryam. It was a must for me in order to prepare my own. So may Allah bless him, and may Allah accept from him for doing the linguistic perspective of the surah as well. So Jazakumullah khair.
Allah, beautiful that someone can teach the tafsir and not realize that maybe in another country they're going to be using it to understand the surah, subhanAllah. Jazakallah khairan, that was so beautiful. You've been talking about people learning the meaning of the Quran in Bosnia. Can you share with us what is the culture of Quran for women in Bosnia? Do women actively take classes for Quran, memorize Quran? Is it something that is a lot of women do? What is the culture there?
Women here learn and recite the Quran just like on a daily basis, and they learn, they teach, and they kind of recite the Quran on the same level, so to say, as men. So just from the beginning, for example, when we start from the Maktab period, the basic Islamic education period, altogether women and men, like the children go together, and they learn the letters, they learned how to recite it as well. And then the high schools, usually there are as many men, there are women as well, there are girls and boys, and they continue their journey. And one interesting point, and this is maybe something that some can benefit from, we have this kind of yearly competition in reciting the Quran. So my first kind of public reciting, or my first kind of the competition in the Quran, was when I was about 17. I think I was 17 years old, and then we learned 5 juzus of the Quran by heart, and then kind of we came to this competition, and it was like, wow, what is going to be on this competition? Who am I going to compete against? And there were so many different huffaz, hafizat, or men and women who were competing, and who were like, oh, am I going to make a mistake here, or I'm not? So the competition was like, if you're on the 5 juzus of competition, you get 2 to 3 pages that you have to recite in front of the board, so to say, in front of the board of the recitation. And they said, and they kind of choose a random page, but by random I mean like the hardest pages of the surahs that you're knowing. Like, you never get the easy ones, you get only the hard ones. So yeah, and then they just want to test your hips, how you're gonna finish the ayat, how we're gonna kind of how we're gonna connect it between different ayat, etc. And on that competition, alhamdulillah, I was the second on that on the state competition together with my two colleagues, and one of them won the first place. The first place, she is now Hafiza, she is Zakia Kervavat, and the third place was again, my colleagues, because we were a really good group, we were a really good team, and our half of was our teacher was kind of preparing us the whole like year, and he was like pressuring us, "You can do it, you can do it, you cannot give up, you have to prepare." And we did it, and we alhamdulillah made beautiful scores, and the whole school was so proud of us. And so there is no limitations for women to kind of participate in these events. There is no limitations for women to participate in learning the Quran, in reciting the Quran, in teaching the Quran. There are many, but for example, it is usually divided like women teach women the Quran, and men teach men. Usually, it's like that. And we have, for example, many different schools of Quran here in Bosnia. We have like female. So to say, female specified, so to say, schools of the Quran in which the focus is teaching the women the Quran, and these schools of Quran have made so many good results, and they kind of have tens of half of that a year. So, for example, last year. No, for example, now in Bosnia we have around 300 hafiz. We have those are both men and women together. And the last year, for example, was one of the best, not one of, but the best year in the number of hafiz, or number of hafiz who learned the Quran by heart. And after you learn the Quran by heart here in Bosnia, for example, you have to go to recite the Quran in front of the, so to say, Hifz board. It is called the Hifz board, and it is kind of consisted of what?
For the whole country.
Yes.
Oh,
So
wow.
you have to, like, you have to, if I understood it well, so they have to, if you want to kind of understand the, if you're not, if you re finish the Hifz of the Quran, then you go to the kind of to recite the Quran in front of the Hifz board. And this Hifz board is consisted of 8 members. So they kind of sit and listen to your recitation for 15 days, and you recite 2 juzes of the Quran each day. And you have to recite them. I think the Hifaz here recite these juzes in about an hour or so, an hour and a half. So they have to recite really quick, and their tajweed kind of goes off during during that period. But yeah, they have to recite it pretty quickly, and they finish it in about 15 days. And there are even Hufad who have finished it in about 3 days. They recited the whole Quran in 3 days, for example. And there is also one Hafidha. She's female, and she recited the whole Quran in 1 day. So she kind of sit in front of the board. Yes, and she sit in front of the board, and she started in the morning, and she was like finished until Salatul Maghrib in the evening. We also have half of their our half of are or Hufaz are in from all from different ages and backgrounds. For example, we had one half of that he finished the recitation in front of the board yesterday, and he's like 59 years old, and he's like almost in his pension days, and he finished it. We also have half of that are 15, 16 years old, and they all kind of committed into reading the Quran, learning the Quran by heart, and reciting it in front of the board. So it is not like limited. I think one of our youngest Hufad was about 12 or 13 years old. So yeah, there is no age limit. Allah chooses whom He wants to, and kind of we can only pray that Allah chooses us to kind of be the carriers of His book, and to kind of carry it not only in our minds, but to carry it in our hearts, inshallah.
Incredible
So.
and interesting. So there's no way that we would in the United States be able to have, we don't have like a system to see who memorized, how many people memorized. So you're is it like expected that any person who finishes memorizing with their teacher, They go to this board, and then the board will kind of keep a record of all the hafal in the whole country. That is so amazing.
Yes. And not only that, you kind of have these kind of periods of your memorization process. So the first period is like just memorizing, learning the whole Quran by heart. And then the second kind of step of the process is to get your hips so strong that you can recite two juzes of the Quran in 1 hour or in 1 hour and a half. So you have to kind of get just really good, and not everyone can go to that board and kind of just recite after they finish the juzur, etc. So it is challenging, it is really stressful for the hafaz, but it is really worthy, because when someone goes to the board and they recite the Quran in these 15 or days or less for some hafaz, they kind of their hips, you know that their hips is on a level, you know that it is a really strong hips that they not kind of you kind of are you can lean on their hips, etc. So so the first kind of goal is to finish the Quran in front of your teacher, and then the second one is to finish it in front of this board. And yes, they keep the record of how many hafaz have finished it in each year, and kind of yeah, there are eight of them. Unfortunately, we are missing a woman in the board, but inshallah, it's gonna be. Inshallah, it's gonna be one day. Let's hope to it, inshallah, that it gets soon, that we have nine members of the board, etc. So it is a really, really prestige title here in Bosnia to be a hafiz. And you know that when someone recites that in front of in front of this board, you know that he's a really good hafiz, that his hifz is really strong, and that you can just end like it with a prayer that he continues to kind of maintain his hifz as strong as it was during that period. And then later on, we have kind of a gathering that where we kind of congratulate the new hufa that they're finished their realization of the hifs. And then yeah, that's kind of it. So, and then we can just pray that their hifs stays the same strong during their whole life. So that's kind of the process of learning the Quran here.
So beautiful, mashallah. It's like people who memorize Quran are so honored and are, it's something that people take seriously. They take it seriously the way that they memorize, mashallah. Can you give us any advice? Because mashallah, you've already given us so many gems and so much advice in the way that you are speaking about approaching Arabic and approaching Quran. What if someone like you starts the Arabic letters and they're like, "Oh no, I just can't. I don't want to keep going." Or they start memorizing and they say, "Oh, this is just so difficult. I've been trying for 3 years. I can't do it." What advice do you have for them to keep going, to feel motivated? How do they keep feeling motivated to go to the Quran?
Oh, subhanAllah. I think it's something that it is individual. Each person kind of has its own, his or her own, like motives or inspirations or motivations from the Quran. I think in my previous period, one of my main motivations was to when I kind of get through the struggles of how am I going to finish, when I'm going to finish, and I have so much left to learn. I was my motive or my motivation would always be like remembering that on the day of judgment, my parents are going to wear a crown on their heads, and it was a really motivating thing for me, and I really enjoyed it. However, when the time passes on, and when I was thinking about it more thoroughly, I just came to a realization that it is beautiful that your parents are going to wear the crown on the day of judgment. However, I kind of see it now more as a result, not the reason, if I have explained it well. Meaning, like, I want to learn the Quran in order to be myself closer to Allah, because the Quran is first of all going to benefit you, and you should first of all learn it for Allah. And it kind of the second thing is like remember whose words you're memorizing, subhanAllah. You remember that he chose, he is the one who taught you, and he is the one who chose you to even be able to read it, even to be able to to remember, to kind of be mo inspired or motivated to learn even the letters. There are so many people who do not, who maybe who are not even like thinking about learning even the letters. So who is the one who gave you the inspiration to even learn the letters, and who is the one who gives you like the will in it to even read it in translation, etc. So pray to him to kind of make it easy for you to learn it by heart and continue with your recitations, because it is first of all beneficial for you and me. It is first of all beneficial because it's going to your heart is going to be melted by its meaning and by its words by only reading it, if you know whose words are those, if you know that it is he who takes care of you every day. If you know that it is he who gave you life in this earth, who has given you, who has been with you through all of your struggles, through all of your the best and the worst times in your life, and he has never given up on you, then you should know that it is an honor to be able to read his book. And it is an honor, and it is something that we should do in order to be kind of it is a sign of a gratefulness towards our Lord to learn his book by heart. Kind of to say, Allah, I'm learning this because I'm grateful to you that you have given me my life. Allah, I'm learning this book because I'm so happy to be honored to be your slave. I'm so happy to learn this book because I just want to see your face, to see you on the day of judgment. Nothing else needs you to kind of to give you more motivation than this, your Lord, your God, who is the one who is always with you through all the times. So there is no bigger motivation in our lives than he, to kind of his closeness to us to motivate us in our everyday life. So if that is something that motivates you on your why you're doing good deeds, why you're believing, etc., then it is something that should motivate you in your reading the Quran process. So yeah, that's it. I'm not gonna I don't want to kind of get too long. I'm sorry if this is
Oh,
taking too much.
hey, all of us are just crying. MashaAllah, the love that you speak about doing this for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just out of this pure desire to just know Him and be grateful to Him, is just so powerful and so beautiful and so inspirational. SubhanAllah, may Allah bless you and honor you and allow us to feel that same love that you're talking about and increase you in that. Allahumma ameen. I love to also ask you about your studies. You are studying, mashallah, you're doing your master's in Islam in Europe. What exactly is your studies about? Because that's something that, there's so much history for Muslims in so many different parts of the world, and being able to learn about Islamic history in those parts allows us as Muslims, wherever we are, to feel more connected to our whole ummah. So can you share with us a little bit about that as well?
So Islam in Europe as a master studies here in Bosnia in the at the Faculty of Islamic Studies is something that is a new program, master program here in Bosnia, and it is in English. It is the first master's program in English. So anyone here who is like even from the United States or from the Europe, pardon, and who wants to join this master's can join it. I think there is like if you like visit the fin.ba, this is the website www.fin.ba. So you can visit there and you can kind of check out the more information. So what it meant to me, first of all, it was a new experience for me because it was my first master's studies that it was my first like official studies that I did in English. So this is we do not have like the full-time programs about Islam here in Bosnia in English. So it is like, oh, I saw that this is an opportunity to learn Islam and to learn it in English, because I love English and this is and I love kind of using it in my everyday life, and I kind of see it as a really useful tool to kind of spread this beautiful message of Islam. So that was one of my like first thoughts when I saw this like a flyer about the these studies. The second thing is When we say Islam in Europe, it is a really weird thing to think about, because when you see, like, you have France, you have the UK, you have the Spain, you have like many different countries where Islam is not really like recognizable by. You cannot think about. You only like see the Islamophobia part of these countries. So I kind of wanted to know what. Does it mean to be a Muslim in Europe? What does it mean to understand Islam from a European perspective or from a European view? And then throughout that master's, I learned that the translation, for example, of the Quran happened so long time ago, and it was like in the Latin language, and it was like in from for all different reasons. And then it kind of brought me a new perspective of the Quran. People will kind of they will read the Quran, but it will not guide them. And we always ask ourselves, how is that some people read the Quran, but it doesn't guide them? It is by your intention that it is guiding you or disguiding you. The Quran is like that. So there were people in our history who recited the Quran, or who knew, or who have read the Quran. They translated it into different languages, but they never became Muslims. Why? One of the reasons that I see is that they didn't want it to be guided by this book. They didn't try to find guidance in it. They just saw it as a piece of like a paper or a book that comes from the enemy, or for someone who we do not know, or someone who that we do not like. And I kind of always see it that Quran comes to you the way you want to come to it, the way you kind of, it is always like on two sides to it, is a two-way street, so to say, not only one. So what you expect from it, you will get from it. What you want to give to it, you will get again from it. What else? Maybe another really nice part of this master studies is that you kind of get to know many international students. So we have students from Bangladesh, we had students from the US, we had so many different students, and you kind of get to know new perspectives. You kind of don't think about how different it is to be a Muslim in Bangladesh and in like India and in Bosnia, and then on the other way of the world in the US. When you get to know these people, you kind of get to know more of the beauty of Islam. How so many there are so many people who try to live this religion, this faith, and they love it, but they live it maybe in a completely different way than you how you see it today. And you have like the same things that you're sharing in common, like the prayers, like the fast, the basics of Islam. However, for example, the look of their hijab is completely different, and then how the men are like covering, and how they are dressed, it is completely different. But it is all a part of our religion. It is all a part of our beautiful faith, and it kind of gives you the kind of a perspective that subhanallah, this is what Allah promises in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا, subhanallah, so that we can know each other more. And by knowing each other more, we will get aware of Allah more, because we will know that this is that what Allah has created. It is not by someone else. It is He who kind of joined us together, and it is He who made a decision to kind of create us differently. If he wanted, we could all be the same, we could all look the same, we could all dress the same, but he didn't want it. So it is his mercy, and it is his wisdom to create us differently. And we have to respect those differences, and we have to kind of try to find a matching point for all of us to kind of to find or a place, or a thought, or a dot, you know, that connects us together. If we manage to find this dot, or this place, this topic, this opinion that kind of gets us all together, then we can come over all differences. And if you go to a Muslim in Europe, or if you go to a Muslim in Asia, in the US, in every part of the world, if you ask them, do you believe in Allah? Of course, they will say they do. Do you believe in the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course, they will say they do. So, if you share this point of view, at the beginning, if they believe in Allah, if they say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, then it is the most important basic point that you can that you can start from if you want to kind of build this sense of uniqueness and kind of to feel like the part of one ummah, one community that is all over the world. So this belief of having Allah and having His Messenger in our lives is a treasure. It is a gem. It is something that is so beautiful and worthy for all of the Muslims. And that is something that we should all kind of remind ourselves. If we share this basic belief together, inshallah, then we can overcome all of our differences in our opinions, etc., because we respect each other based on this. So, yes.
Allah, the way that you speak, so much love for the Quran, so much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much love for this ummah. And it's something so beautiful to witness, because so many times when we see people talking about Islam, it's kind of this like very negative, like we have so many problems, we're so far away. But the way that you talk about it is He's there for us, and we can, you know, reach Him, and we can reach one another through Him. It's just so beautiful, mashallah. Jazakallah khairan for such uplifting message and so much hope, mashallah. In our final few minutes that we have, if somebody is really struggling with their relationship with Allah, because the way you're speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really based in so much love, you know, what if they don't feel that same love? What if they're struggling with feeling love for Allah? They know they believe in Him, but they haven't developed that love yet. How can you develop that love? What do you recommend for someone to develop that?
They always say, like, in order to kind of accept someone or to respect someone, you should first of all get to know him. So my first advice to anyone there who is struggling in their own relationship to Allah, and this is something that all of us get through. This is something that none of us kind of was saved from. I'm getting through these troubles as well. I think you do you, Ustad? I hope. I think that you are, because this is something that we, all of the people who want to get to Allah, they have these periods of time in their lives where just they do not feel it. They have. Like it is like if it is as if there is a barrier between them and Allah, that something is stopping them to get there, to get to feel the deepness of that relationship, and this is something that we all feel, that you're not weird, you're not like different, you're not a bad person because of that. It is just the way we do. It is the basics of our nature as humans. And when I get to these when I have two things that I would recommend, and first one is, if you are in this spot in your life, then first of all get to know your Lord. If you know Him, you will first of all respect Him, and then you will love Him. I know what I read, subhanAllah, whenever I kind of try to increase my taqwa, and whenever I try to increase my awareness of Allah and read about it, I always felt like the sense of a deep, deep kind of I admired Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all. Kind of, wow, what a beautiful creator He is. Wow, what a loving creator He is, and how merciful He is. And I kind of always kind of feel this admire in my heart, and kind of with so much respect towards Him. And then, like, after that respect, I kind of always felt, subhanAllah, if anyone is worthy of being loved, then it is Him, because nobody is like Him, and nobody can be compared to Him. So kind of when we get to know Him better, and not know Him by information. It is not about, I know about Allah, I know His 99 names, I know about how He creates, I know He created this, He sent this book, I know all of that. No, to know it by heart, meaning like to internalize it and to feel it in your heart, subhanAllah. What does it mean that He is Al-Kareem, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim? What does it mean in your everyday life? How do you see this Allah's name in your everyday life? SubhanAllah, if you see Him his names in your life, then you will know him better by your heart. And that's the main most important thing. And that it is, doesn't matter how many information you possess and how many things you know. The most important thing is how quality of your information is, not the quantity, not the amount. But of course, it is better to increase in the amount, but the quality is much better. Meaning, when you learn something, try to internalize it in your heart. Try to kind of connect to it. Try to live it, and then go after it. And the second thing that kind of always gets me and gives me so much motivation in my everyday life when I get into in the period. So I love Allah. I try to have the connection with Him, but then this period comes when I feel when there is a lot of stress in my life, and there is like we feel anxiety. We have so many obligations to do. We have so many things that are waiting for us, and we kind of decrease our relationship with Allah. We kind of decrease our awareness. We kind of become more like ghafil. I cannot remember the translation. We kind of do not think about it so much as we should, and as we kind of do when we are increased in our relationship with Allah. And then when that period comes to me, I kind of always like to explain myself to Allah, meaning to kind of say, Allah, I'm struggling. Allah, I'm having a really hard time. It is really hard for me. I cannot do this anymore. I'm struggling. I'm not feeling you close as much as I wanted to. I do not kind of, I feel so far from you. Please, Allah, give me the way out from this. And when I kind of open my heart, it is like opening your heart towards Allah. Whenever I open my heart, I always feel like, oh, He has given me a way out. I always, at least like after, just right after the dua, even though nothing was changed in my life, I immediately feel like the sense of relief. I do not know it is what how Allah gives it, but I immediately always feel like the sense of relief because, oh, Allah will solve it. Everything is going to be fine. Do not panic. Do not go like overboard. And then later on, if I keep on going with that dua, if I keep kind of trying to explain again, how am I going? How am I feeling? What am I going through to Allah? Kind of through time, everything goes on the right place. Not maybe always in the time when I want it, but on the time when Allah wants it and when it is the best for me. So to kind of have that, not kind of expect from Allah to kind of solve all of your problems and all of your sorrows when you want it. No, Allah doesn't work like that. He gives it to you when it is the best for you. And we have to accept it, even though it is not so easy for us all the time to kind of accept this way of thinking in our life. So may Allah guide us to first of all remember Him, to get to know Him, and to kind of when we know Him, to know Him by our hearts, by our deeds, by what we are talking and where we are going, etc. The second is may Allah give us when we come to the places and times when we do not feel Him as close, may Allah give us open our hearts and the doors to Him, so that we do not get too much away from Him, and that we do not kind of get that our heart doesn't stuck in that like feeling of being away from Allah, because there is not a greater hardship in our lives than being aware far from Allah, subhanAllah. All of you can kind of. You can kind of get over all of the things and all of the temptations and struggles in our lives. But if you are far from Allah, you can never be. Yeah, I can never be happy. I think those periods when I feel far from Allah are the worst ones in my life. So may Allah save me and all of us from it. May Allah protect us from being away from Him and kind of be neglective towards Him.
Amen,
And
amen.
may Allah guide us to understand Him, to understand His book, and to understand its meanings, and to kind of practice it in our everyday lives.
And
Amin. Amin.
that was so beautiful. And as you were talking about the names of Allah, there's a beautiful book called Reflecting on the Names of Allah. And it's by Gina and Yusuf, Ustadha Gina and Yusuf. And she actually has a journal that you can also purchase with it that you can write your journey to the names of Allah and learning about his names and how they interact with your life. So I really recommend reflecting on the names of Allah by Dina and Yusuf. And definitely, if you feel like you have spiritual trauma, definitely work with a therapist to process it so that inshallah you can move forward. That is such a beautiful, beautiful way to close with such important advice for all of us. Barakallahu fiki, Usada Amina, mashallah. This was so beautiful, mashallah. It was just such a gift to hear your words and to learn about how to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know that we started talking about Quran, but as our conversation evolved, I just felt like there are so many different aspects that you can teach all of us, and we will continue to benefit from you. Your handle on Instagram is family, FamilyBotic. And if anyone wants to contact you, can they send you a message through that account?
Of course they can. Of course they can. They're very welcome. Yes. Actually, my husband and I together kind of use that account because we do not use Instagram as much. So we kind of joined the accounts together. But if they want, they can send me a message. And of course, I'm available on Facebook as well. So it is only my account on Facebook if it is easier for them. So we can send it afterwards if it's okay.
Jazakallah khair. And mashallah, her husband is also a huge da'i, mashallah. He's a worker in da'wah and someone who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has shared his story, which is so powerful. And subhanAllah, you're a power couple who is calling people to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in your relationship, bless you in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and bless the work that you both do in calling people to Him. Mashallah, so beautiful and such.
I mean, may Allah use us. May Allah use us as His tool to kind of call people to Him. May Allah use us as His tool. It is the biggest honor in this whole earth. SubhanAllah.
It's truly such a huge honor. SubhanAllah, barakallahu fiki. Thank you so much, Esther Amina, and inshallah, we will see you again soon.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
Inshallah. And thank you all for joining. Assalamu alaikum.